Welcome to the Flow Seekers podcast, presented by Tara Howe, co-director of Blue Derby Pods Ride. This podcast showcases some of the world's most interesting individuals and delves deep into conversation about their life and stories of how they experience the flow. Listen in for inspiration, education, entertainment, and all going to plan, a moment in flow.
Hello and welcome to our first ever podcast, Flow Seekers. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Tara Howe and I'm going to be hosting this podcast. Now, here at Blue Derby Pods Ride, we have been talking about this podcast for quite a while. It's been a long time in the making, so much so we've given a little nickname called the Podscast. And seriously, we did consider even calling our podcast the Podscast, but as you hear today, Flow Seekers does suit just a little bit better. So a bit of background on me and Blue Derby Pods Ride. My name is Tara Howe, as I already said, and alongside my husband, Steve, we own and operate Blue Derby Pods Ride. Blue Derby Pods Ride is a luxury adventure mountain biking experience based in Derby, northeast Tasmania. Derby is a little town, but it has a huge network of mountain biking trails. So our guests join us to ride those trails. They stay in our gorgeous accommodation pods and they indulge in beautiful Tasmanian food and wine over 3 or 4 days. So pretty special. The obvious question here, though, is why is a luxury adventure mountain biking tourism business starting a podcast? Good question, and a pretty simple answer for us. Our vision at Blue Derby Pods Ride is to inspire a global community of flow seekers. Now, to date, we think we've done a pretty good job of that through our experiences over 3 or 4 days with our guests. And I think our guests say that same thing online on our online reviews. But we see this podcast as an opportunity to take it one step further. Hopefully, it inspires our guests further past the 3 or 4 days with us. Or maybe even it will inspire other people around the world to consider becoming a flow seeker and finding flow in their personal, professional, maybe both parts of their life. So that's the goal and that's the reason why we're starting a podcast. The next thing is, for this introduction, who is our first guest? Now, most of our introductions will just focus on this, but today, obviously, first podcast, first guest, it's so much pressure to make sure we get this first guest right, or that's how we feel anyway. So we've talked about it a lot. We thought about who is going to be extraordinary, who's going to be amazing, and absolutely the person we found we feel so happy with, and we've loved recording this interview with Anne. So why did we choose Anne? Well, Anne is an amazing researcher here at the University of Tasmania. But in addition to that, Anne has also been undertaking some research, or has finished undertaking research on Blue Derby Pods Ride. And the research that she's done with us is really special. And what it is about is it's showing how Blue Derby Pods Ride has curated experiences to help our guests actually get into this flow state. And part of that research, she coined this term flow seekers. So that's how the name actually came about. So in the interview, we just kind of dive into conversation, and I don't do a wonderful job, in all honesty, in actually introducing Anne in a formal manner. So I think in this introduction, that's what we'll probably do in the podcast going forward. And so I'm going to read her bio because it's seriously good. You know, you think you know someone, then you read their official bio and you're like, actually, maybe I didn't. So I think that's the best way I'm going to introduce her for you, to give you context on who she is and what she's done, to then get the most out of this conversation that we have together. So this is Anne Hardy. Associate Professor Anne Hardy is a researcher with a keen interest in tourist behaviour and sustainable tourism, and is based at the University of Tasmania in the School of Social Sciences. Her research has been cited over 19,000 times, and she's the author of 3 books, the most recent of which is on tourist tracking and mobility. Some of Anne's most well-known research is the multiple award-winning project Tourism Tracer, which is actually how I first came across Anne. This project was the first to track tourists with their consent for the duration of their holiday throughout entire destinations. Tourism Tracer's success resulted in changes in the way that destinations such as Tasmania collect visitor information. Since its development, it has been used in many other national and international jurisdictions and has since been commercialised. It has also resulted in more than 10 academic publications. Anne's international and national reputation for innovative, engaged and impact-driven tourism research in the areas of tourist behaviour and sustainable tourism has led to a variety of national and international academic invitations. She's on the advisory board for the Global Tourism Plastics Initiative, was a contributor to the Kasani Call to Action on Sustainable Tourism, and is a regular speaker and project partner for the UNWTO Sustainable Tourism Division One Planet. Anne is the founder of the Tourism Research and Education Network TREND. TREND draws together tourism researchers from all disciplines across the University of Tasmania with the goal of building research capacity and enhancing engagement with the Tasmanian tourism industry. She co-directs TREND in conjunction with Professor Kan Sing Oi. In 2020, TREND, in conjunction with the University of Newcastle, initiated the highly successful ISOChat series. This series was dedicated to sharing the work of tourism researchers across the globe during the COVID pandemic on a weekly basis. It rapidly gained a reputation of being a collaborative, social, and supportive space for new, emerging, and experienced researchers from across the world. So that's Anne's official bio. As you can hear from that bio, she's done some amazing things. And so we talk about her background, work she's done, and of course the work she's done with us today, ultimately coining the term Flow Seekers. So I'm going to finish by saying thank you so much for joining us. This is obviously our first podcast. You'll see I'm highly nervous in the interview, and a little bit of our sound could be improved, and I think we'll get that better over time. So I appreciate your understanding there. So enjoy the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for joining us in the future. And I really hope this helps you find flow more in your life. Cheers. Welcome, Anne.
Thank you, Tara. It's great to come along and speak to you today. It's such a cool forum.
It is, and I am so excited, and I know you are as well, that we are finally here to have this conversation. It feels like it has been months in conversation to get to this point. Agree?
Yeah, totally. It's probably been a year, I think, or maybe it was 2 years ago that you actually first made contact, and then it's been about a year since we actually hit the start button. So it's really exciting.
It is. And so, look, Anne Hardy, Associate Professor in Tourism and Society at University of Tasmania. We're going to go through, this is an introduction, this is our first podcast, this is my first interviewing podcast, so if you could feel my heart rate, it's, you know, dun-dun-dun-dun right now. So we're going to go through a bit of the background about yourself and why I'm speaking to you, because you've been a really integral part of our business in helping us distill our point of difference and understand how we do it. And then we're going to go through some sections or phrases of the normal approach to this podcast that we're hoping to do, which includes things like enjoying a beautiful cup of something. And I know you have really wonderful Tasmanian drinking water with you today.
That's right.
And maybe a sweet of your choice. There'll hopefully be some not so normal approaches to the podcast today. To start with, I think it's really great for listeners to hear about your background, and there's no better way than describing your background than hand the mic over to you and just to give us a bit of a, you know, your story.
Okay. Oh, thanks. All right. Well, I mean, I guess I'm a tourism researcher and I work at the University of Tasmania. But the reason why I got into tourism research was that I love the industry. So I grew up in town, and then when I was about 15, my parents had a change of heart. They went out, they bought a flat block of land. This was in the late 1980s. And they built a pick-your-own fruit farm from scratch. So it was the idea is that people went along and they could pick, you know, all these different types of fruits. And when they first started, they were told, you're not actually tourism, you're agriculture, because that's how long, you know, way, way back then, Tassie was just known for, you know, the penny royal and apples, and there wasn't much going on. And I was really interested watching my parents and particularly my dad really have to battle it out as to what he was doing and why his form of tourism might eventually be important. And as we know, Tassie's now known for its food and produce. But what I was really interested in as he went through that process was the research process, how he tried to develop a case for a business, how he tried to understand who his customers might be, and why he thought this form of
growing fruit with no sprays and no pesticides wherever possible was important, like the sustainability issues. So I started going to university. I was a law school dropout and ended up with a Bachelor of Science with a major in geography, got addicted to travel. And it was like I sort of came full circle and thought, hold on, I can research this stuff. And that's where I became really interested in tourism and particularly the experience that people have when they're traveling. So I really, I'm fascinated by where people go and why people go. And that's led me into sort of understanding the tourism experience and also, you know, trying to understand where people go through technology. So that's sort of how I got into tourism research.
That's amazing. And now, I mean, if your family was to start a pick your own a berry farm in Tasmania, there'd be plenty of people alongside them talking about how to attract the tourists, I have no doubt.
Yeah, totally. That's right. And I think that's part of it, isn't it? That what research it often is ahead of the game. Like you're doing stuff that's ahead of the game. And I guess what I saw my family was doing something ahead of the game. And that really interests me. And sometimes you have some massive fails when you do that. But other times it pays off. And that's what I love about the tourism industry. There's a lot of brave people out there trying new ideas, like in your business.
Yeah, thank you. And you're right, that is one of definitely the things I love about the tourism industry too, especially here in Tasmania. There are many things that you're in your academic career, you're known for. And if you were to Google Anne Hardy, one of the most popular things that's come up is the tourism tracer. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Oh, that's great. Well, I'm glad it was tourism tracer and nothing really flesh and terrible that came up.
I just pushed those bits to the side.
Yeah. Oh, that's phew. So what happened was back in about the early 2000s, I was living in Canada and I was working at the University of Northern British Columbia. I was totally fascinated in this tourism experience that I could see happening in Canada, which was people driving around in these massive motorhomes, which they call RVs, recreational vehicles. And I was just really fascinated by them and where they went. And I remember I talked to someone from Tourism British Columbia and said, oh, do you have any data on where they go? And he said, well, yes, I do, Anne. We've done 500 surveys. And he handed me these surveys where the RVers had meticulously mapped out where they'd gone, but he didn't know how to analyze it. And they, half the time, they'd kind of annotated and said, we can't remember where we've gone. So I was kind of really interested that we just don't really know where travellers go. We know how they get into a port and where they leave from, but where they go in between, we just don't know. So time went on and technology changed and suddenly we have the ability to track movement through mobile phones. So back in about 2015 and 2016, we developed an app called Tourism Tracer. And the idea was that this would be an app that was very easy to use, that we would ask tourists to put on their phone, that would track exactly where they went down to like 10 meters of accuracy every couple of seconds for the duration of their stay. And it also asked them questions about themselves, you know, their previous travel history, why they came to Tassie. And I just remember thinking on the first day, this is going to be a total failure. And we went to the airport and it was a total failure. Actually, there was the largest Telstra outage ever in Australia and the entire phone network went down. And I was actually at Sydney on the day and I remember standing on the road almost in tears. So anyway, but as it turned out, day two came, the network came up and we started to track people and they started to say yes. And we were able to track people for the duration of their stay through all of Tassie and really see where they were going and how they were travelling and how different segments of people were travelling. And to my surprise, it was the first time really in the world that this had been done and it got a lot of attention. It's since been commercialised. So we continue to be able to use Tourism Tracer here at the uni. But another company can also use it as well. So it was this big story of, I guess, this crazy idea that turned into an innovation that worked. And that's how I came to be known when you put in my name, Tourism Tracer, not the noise stuff comes up.
That's an amazing story. And I love that you did have at least a little hiccup, even as a researcher. Researchers are so often seen as like they get it all right and so considered. So it's nice that those hiccups don't just happen to the normal people as well.
Yes, all the time. Failure is my friend. I have
that. Brilliant. One of the other areas which we're really well known for is sustainable and nature-based tourism, which is really how we became to know each other. In fact, it was actually in the local paper where I read some of your quotes and I thought, wow, this lady sounds interesting. I totally should find a way to talk to her. And that's how we connected. And then this led to that. And you ended up joining a 3-day experience at Blue Deer Pods Ride with a real intention in mind to start some research for us. Did you want to give background on that story?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I guess, yeah, my interest in sustainable tourism is probably just simply because we grew up in Tasmania and we know how precious this environment is, you know, that
totally.
Many of us in Tasmania, you know, I take for granted the fact that I drink water that comes off a mountain and it's sweet and it's beautiful. And I take for granted the fact that we have all these natural areas that we, you know, we live in and they're just our playgrounds. So I guess that's why I was really interested in the, you know, the role and the relationship between tourism and the environment. But then I became more interested in the relationship between, you know, visitors and their role and their experiences in the environment. And, you know, when we first met, I think I was also writing about neo-tribes and how people form communities and bond when they're travelling.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all those things came together when we met down in Hobart in that really cool office that you had. And I guess the thing is that what interested me about your particular business was that traditionally in tourism it's been taught that if you want to share the experience and the love and the preciousness of nature with your guests, then you need to teach them about it through the guide. So the role of the guide traditionally is that they are kind of like a teacher. And you know, when I talked to you, the business approach that you had really intrigued me because it seemed to me that you took a very different approach but had very similar outcomes. And that's sort of how I think, you know, I became really interested in your business and how there's guides, there's nature, there's your architecture, there's your food, there's bikes. And these all come together to create an incredible experience, but the way you approach it is very, very different.
Yeah, you're right. And it actually really took me talking to you to get even more clarity around how we do approach training and our different perspective of our whole team to get our guests to a certain appreciation of nature or a certain, for us, a moment in flow, because experience of flow is our positioning line. I mean, this podcast is going to be called Flow Seekers by Blue Deer Pods Ride, and it's stories from those who experience the flow. And that term Flow Seekers absolutely came from your research. I hadn't ever had it in my mind before. So thank you.
Oh, so pleased. So cool.
And tell us then what you think. Who are flow seekers and how does that relate to what you understood in our business? And I'm going to take a sip of tea because I need to lubricate my mouth.
No, that's fine. Go for it. So, I mean, basically the concept of flow, which you know, I learned from you and then I got really fascinated, it comes from a Hungarian guy who lived in Hungary. Then he went to Italy and ended up at the University of Chicago. And he's got an amazing name called Mihai Csikszentmihalyi, which thank you very much. It's a super cool name. Csikszentmihalyi, he really talked about the concept of flow, and it came from the notion of happiness that I believe he was a psychologist. He became really intrigued with the concept of, you know, happiness and what causes it. And that got him into the idea of flow.
And the whole idea of flow, I guess, is that it's about, you know, an experience and a state of mind that people get when they are totally and utterly involved in something. And I didn't realize that he actually started, I was listening to this background thing, and I think he started it because he was interested in the arts and painters and musicians. Mm. And it's that kind of notion where people get totally carried away with what they're doing and time becomes irrelevant. He described it as being like a river, in a river, and the flow is just taking them down the river. They're carried away in the moment. Time's gone. They feel at one with whatever their activity is that their body is doing, and they're very, very focused. And he also talks about that balance between skills and challenge and that delicate balance. So when we started chatting and you sort of said to us, hey, we're really into this concept and, you know, we're really, I remember you saying, you know, we want to know whether people feel it and how they reflect on it, the impact of it. So like from a research perspective, that was really interesting for me because we were going to be talking to people in COVID who had been on the experience many months ago, and we're going to ask them to recollect, you know, their experiences. And traditionally that's considered quite a tricky thing in psychology and people who study flow because they're like, well, they can't really remember it very well. Mm. So I was really
in that
intrigued.
Voice.
Yeah, that's right. Totally. So that's kind of how we went about it. So what I did was these in-depth interviews that went for about an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, with guests who'd been on your ride, and asked them to reflect on it. And I mean, there's so many things to talk about, but in terms of flow seekers, was what I found is that there are kind of like two types of people I'd say that I talk to, and one of the types of people are what I called flow seekers, and these are people who might be regular riders, they might not be regular mountain bikers, they might be regular road riders, they may even just be regular runners, regular photographers, and they are flow seekers. And what I discovered was that they seek out flow regularly in their life, whether it's through the passion that they have. And when we talked about it, they sort of talked about how in their regular lives they often engage in activities and it often gives them this sense of flow, like when all the ducks are in a row, they're taken away, they're swept away. So then when we were able to talk about their experiences at Derby, they could sort of compare home life and, you know, the experiences on Derby. And that's where we came up with that concept of flow seekers, from those people who just want to get into the zone, be carried away from daily life and have a almost a transformative experience, I suppose, I guess you could say. Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. I love those types of people, you know. I don't understand. Why would you want to be anything but a flow seeker, really?
That's exactly. And it's something that's like really, it's really promoted in our lives now, you know, whether it's yoga or the gym, running, you know, it's about being taken away in the moment. And COVID has exacerbated that because I think, you know, so many of us are either locked up, isolation, quarantine, or unable to travel, unable to move, missing family, whatever. And the desire to just be taken away from all of that is just so strong right now. So it's a really relevant concept, I think, in our lives.
Yeah, agree. And that is an absolute beautiful segue, unintentionally, to what we hope to. And by the way, thank you for that description, and thank you for your work with us. You know, are so grateful for you taking the time to research our business and join us on an experience and speak to past guests. It's really, it makes my heart flutter in a good way, unlike at the start of this podcast, hearing how guests have got moments of flow with us. So thank you, Anne. We really want to speak to flow seekers on this podcast, and to start the conversation, we want to ask, and I want to ask you today, and I'm very intrigued what the answer is. You know, the first time you ever remember being in flow, and describing how that moment felt, giving us the environment and, you know, how did that inspire you to get that again? So I'm going to hand that question to you.
Yes. Yeah. I actually, that's a really good question. The first time that I experienced it.
That you can remember, because often it's unintentional.
Yeah. I reckon the thing is I grew up loving, I mean, I've also loved swimming and I get into swimming, flowing regularly and swimming, but I won't talk about that. The first time, my first memory is actually through horse riding. I was this little crazy horse riding girl. And
Mental picture right now.
Yeah, exactly. And I just remember, you know, the moment when, you know, riding along, and I've got one really strong memory of going up a driveway, riding quite fast on this horse and just being fully in tune with the horse and what is happening and being totally swept away by it. The pace was right. The weather was right. I was exhilarated. I wasn't bored. I wasn't frightened. And that's where flow happens, in that little sweet spot. And for me, that's probably the earliest memory of flow that I have as a little kid, just being, and then you stop and you go, whoa. And that was, I remember that as a kid going, that was awesome.
Yeah. And you must have had some serious trust with the horse you're riding, because, you know, to get in that flow state, that you have to be able to let it all go. So it must have been an animal you were familiar with.
Yes, totally. It would have been little Charlie the pony, who was 12.2 hands high.
Oh, there you are. Gorgeous. I do have some great images right now, because you're wearing really lovely lipstick. The image is you on the horse with lipstick.
Well, that's right. But back then I didn't wear dresses or lipstick. So I've totally had a reformation.
Now, that's obviously, and you mentioned ocean swimming, and I was going to ask about that anyway. One of the potential ideas for this podcast is to actually to join an activity that both the interviewer and interviewee could ably do, and then talk after potentially being in flow. And I thought about offering that suggestion to you, but I thought, oh my goodness, you're going to say, let's go ocean swimming. And I would have been like way out of my depth.
No.
The challenge totally. Would have been going over the edge. So yeah. I thought, we'll just do that on some occasions.
Yes, that's right.
Do you have a moment in your life where, you know, often we talk about all the highlights and we remember the highlights of our life and remember easily, you know, like you just said, a childhood of a great time on a horse. But when flow didn't come easily, a period in time, whether it be career, whether that be at home, in personal life, where you just found you couldn't find flow at all?
Yeah. I mean, back to the ocean swimming, I guess I have thousands of examples, because I write as a living, you know, I'm a boring academic and I sit at a desk and write, and I often don't get into flow then because I can't like get in the mode. But for this podcast where we're talking about sport, for me it happens quite in swimming quite regularly. So, I mean, I guess the first thing about flow, because I've been studying it, I've been really fascinated and obsessed with it for the last year of like, can I get myself in flow, which actually interests me, because it's almost like the more you try that you can't. And flow Definitely. Is the moment of like a subconscious thing happening, and then you don't realize till you're out of it. But I do remember probably a couple of years ago, I wanted to go swimming. I was really in the mood for it, and I went out and it was really, really rough, and I got scared. I got really, really frightened. Oh my goodness. And it actually skittled me for the rest of the swim, and I couldn't actually relax. I couldn't enjoy what I was doing. I'd really got skittled, and I had to get out of the water. And it wasn't until the next day when the seas had dropped and I got back in and I got my confidence back and that type of thing. And that for me was a really, I have that quite regularly with swimming. That you kind of go, it was all right, but it didn't really give it, I didn't really get what I often get out of it. And it's usually after the fact that I realize that that's what's happened. And, you know, what the research showed that we did is that there are several different factors that you can actually, that will get someone into flow. And then there are factors that stop. So the things that get you into it, like, for example, with that swim, you need to be comfortable, familiar, mental attitude, often having someone close by you. Even if you're a little bit scared, having someone you can follow or be next to. And someone talking about something ahead of you. I had none of that with the swim. So I had all the other factors that stopped the flow. I had fear. I had distractions. I was on my own. I didn't have the right mental attitude. And all those things kind of stopped me from getting into it. So, yeah, it's often that kind of just bad seas on your own, bit of too much fear.
A comment and then a question is, you know, that comment you made about how when often you're trying to get in flow, you don't get in flow. And that's definitely how we see it at Blue Deer Pods Ride, in that we are never, you know, like, okay, we're going to try and get flow now. That's not how it works. And in fact, that conversation about flow maybe will happen on the final day over lunch or, you know, in the bus at some point, but it's never, if you preempt it, it almost pops the bubble. And then secondly, so, you know, you obviously, I mean, the idea of swimming in rough oceans absolutely petrifies me for many reasons. And what made you get back then?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that feeling that you get addicted to it. Like, I would be regarded as a flow seeker because for me, I love that feeling that you get of swimming along in the ocean, being suspended in time and also physically suspended, because when you're like in the ocean, when you're in a flow state and you actually feel like you're suspended in air. So you don't feel the water and the air above you. You just feel like you're actually swimming through air. And, you know, the attraction of having that beautiful, peaceful state of mind, and then, you know, you look up in the corner of your arm because you lift your arm in the water and your elbow's up high, and you look under your elbow and there might be a mountain or a sunrise or, you know, those types of things just bring you back every time. And obviously for ocean swimming, when I'm on the east coast of Tasmania, it's always the chance that you'll see something amazing. You know, for me, sometimes even the amazing is the sweeping of the kelp back and forward, and I'll get really mesmerised and stop. Like, sometimes it's because I've been visited by a dolphin. And but, you know, there's a lot of moments where you're totally carried away with what you've seen and what you're seeing. And, yeah, that's what takes me back often, just that mesmerizing state of mind where you just, the world is, it's just you and the ocean and that's it.
Yeah. It's worth the risk, in other words.
It's totally worth the risk. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you do. It's the same with mountain biking as well. There's things that you do to mitigate the risk, you know. So I don't go out on my own. If there's been a shark sighting, I won't go out far. I'll stay close to the shore. Someone always knows where I swim. Yeah, good to know. That's right. but, yeah, it's the tiny bit of fear, like, you know, with flow, and that's what your guides do so well as well, is that there's that absolute balance that you actually need a little bit of, I wouldn't say the word is fear, it's challenge, like the little bit of, that's what brings on flow. Like, you're not going to be bringing on flow where you're just poodling along and doing what's too easy to you, and your mind starts wandering off and you think about a shopping list or what you need to do for the kids.
Absolutely, it's great. So then just taking all those points, you know, ocean swimming, horseback riding, you mentioned that you don't get flow in research, which blows my mind because you're an academic.
Sometimes, like when I'm in it, I'm in it, but sometimes I struggle.
How do you plan then to get more flow in your life? Because you've said you're a flow seeker, and I would agree, you're absolutely a flow seeker. So how do you plan to get more?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, it's always really difficult, isn't it, with like life and kids and all that type of stuff. But I plan myself, like, you know, my swims are my time and, you know, around me, my family knows that it's worthwhile supporting Anne to get Flo because she's pretty grumpy and annoying or hyperactive if she doesn't have it. So yeah, they kind of fully support the notion because for high energy people like myself, it's a good thing. But, yeah, I give myself time, you know, and I think, you know, it's time swimming and doing whatever. The other thing that I guess for me is that I have, so for like writing, when I'm having to write as an academic, and even with swimming, there are little routines that I do that you go through that actually help you get into flow. You know, the process of getting changed, the breathing that you do when you enter the very cold water, the things that I do before I start writing, you know, like getting a coffee, getting comfortable, making sure my desk is clean. All those things actually kind of facilitate it. But yeah, I think I give myself time. That's what I do to try and get more flow. And also I don't force things. If I have a poopy swim, it doesn't matter. If I have a shitty day riding, I'll just try again the next day and I'll just keep going. And I think another thing is for me, if something's not going so well, I end it. And then I just start it again another day. Like I'm a kind of 100% or nothing girl. So it's not happening. I just go, you know what? It's not happening. Let's get out. Let's go.
Yeah. So that's great.
That's what I tend to do as well. Yeah.
That's great. Time and routine. It's excellent. Because of this podcast, you know, Flow Seekers, stories from those who experience the flow, hopefully will inspire more people to chase flow in their life, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever the activity that is in career or personal life. And I think those two tips are going to be, well, they're the first two of the podcast, and I would say they're up there with the top two. So
benefits, well, that's great. But yeah, the mental benefits of it, I think, are just so important, aren't they? Like particularly at the moment with COVID, getting into a flow state can just help you deal with so many difficult things, whether it's homelessness, people, frustrations. It just provides you with a bit of an outlet, I think.
Yeah, which I love. Absolutely. Okay, well, I love it, and I am just smiling to you because I feel like this is it's good, and I'm really happy with how we've gone here. I've got to the final questions that we're hoping to have some consistency to finish the podcast to try and round up the conversation, and I think these will suit, and you've already in fact answered a couple of them, so we'll see. You probably answer these questions easily. So the first two is, I'd love you to finish these sentences. Flow seekers are
people who seek out a sense of escape on a regular basis in order to give themselves physical and mental benefits. That's what I'd say.
That's good. Yep. The next one, again, finish the sentence. And this is actually the same sentence that we ask people who ever would apply a job for us with us at Bloody Pods Rye. They have to finish this sentence.
Did I finish it properly? Do I get a job?
Potentially, yeah.
Okay. I'll see you on TV afterwards.
Great. Flow is a moment when?
Flow is a moment when time becomes irrelevant, the worries of the world are gone, you are at one with your environment and your equipment, and you are taken away and swept away in a moment.
Amazing. You definitely get a jump on that.
Okay, that's fine. I want to be the cook.
Brilliant.
That's my favourite job.
And then comment on this quote, and we hope to change the quote each time. So if you can't control the current of the river, then don't fight it.
Yeah, I think that is exactly right, and it applies to so many things in our lives. So, it, you know, as I said before with my approach to work, you know, if I am not doing something well, I put down, take, change tack and start again. It's the same with sport, because many of us engage in activities that might have an element of risk, And if things aren't going well, we don't have to live our lives fighting things. We have enough stress in our lives that means that, yeah, life is about picking your battles, isn't it? When it comes to sort of seeking flow or physical activity, I think it's not worth fighting it. Just go with it. Yeah.
Excellent. Agree entirely. Okay, well, and thank you so much for joining us on our inaugural podcast. Thank you again for your research into flow with us at Polluted Pods Ride. We'll stay in touch and I hope that you find more and more times to experience the flow going forward.
Thanks, Tara. It's been a total pleasure. Really, thank you very much for having me on.
Blue Derby Pods Ride offers multi-day luxury adventure mountain biking experiences based out of unique and exclusive accommodation pods in the middle of the forests of the Blue Derby Mountain Bike Trails, Derby, Tasmania. Tara and Steve Howe are the dynamic husband and wife founders and owners of this world-first and critically acclaimed business. The University of Tasmania undertook research on Blue Derby Pods Ride to assess the role that adventure tourism plays in stimulating flow. The results of this were very positive, particularly the importance of Blue Derby Pods Ride experience leaders in ensuring this mental state is reached. Find out more about Blue Derby Pods Ride in our podcast show notes. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please go ahead and review us on your favourite podcast platform. Until next time, enjoy experiencing the flow.